Thank you, Michael. My name is Magnificence the Wise. Welcome to Unity of Centralia for Sunday service on Halloween. And can you understand me with this thing on?
Yes.
Okay, good. Then I'm going to read to you from the Daily Word. Protected. I find my protection in the light of faith and truth. I smile and act frightened as I recognize the neighborhood children who come to my door wearing scary masks and costumes. Children of all ages enjoy playing make-believe. Pretend fright is part of the fun of Halloween. Now and then, in response to an unexpected and unwelcome challenge, more serious thoughts of fear seep into my mind and upset my emotional well-being. At the first hint of unease, I remember that all of the protecting power of God is near as my next thought. I say no to fear and yes to faith. My confidence grows as I practice the divine presence, discovering not only the protecting power, but also the guiding love and wisdom of God everywhere I go and in everything I do. And from Psalms 18:31 to 32, for who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock besides our God? The God who girded me with strength and made my way safe. And now let's join Karen and Mike in singing Surely the Presence. Even my glasses fit on.
Surely the presence of God's God. This place, I can feel my heart and the grace. I can feel a rush of angel wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of God's love is in this place. Surely the presence of God's love is in this place. I can feel the mighty power and the grace. I can feel the rush of angel wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of God's love is in this place.
There we go. Thank you so much, Michael. And now let's all are saying our opening statement together. There is only one presence and one power active as the universe and as my life, God the good. And now, Mike, and where's your crew, Mike?
Well, there's a crew right here.
Oh, there you are. Okay.
And then there are.
Oh, there they all are. Hi, everybody.
There's Izzy too.
Okay, so our song's going to be "Open the Eyes of My Heart."
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart. heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 holy. I want to see you.
Okay, you can see me. There, see? I'm still magnificent and wise, even without the mask. It's a great time to greet your neighbors. So everybody can unmute for a minute and wave and say hi. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good to see you all. And oh, there's Pam. Oh, there went Pam. Hi, Pam. Hi, Pam. Oh, look, John and Sherry are joining us. We'll give them a minute so we can all say hi to them, too. Yoo-hoo, John and Sherry. Okay. Put your camera on, John.
The next day.
And it's good to see you too, Richard and Donna. It's been a while.
I guess we're not going to see John and Sherry. We'll just wave when we do see them. Well, I've got a lot of announcements, so get your coffee, sit back and relax. Let's see. And after I'm finished, raise your hand if you have an announcement, okay? Grandfather's Indian Christian Service next Sunday, November 14th, 2:00 at the Longhouse. It's always the second Sunday of the month. Grandfather's Medicine Wheel Teachings is next Sunday. Ooh, I don't know. It says October 24th. Tom, when's the Grandfather's next Medicine Wheel Teachings? I missed that one. I'll have to take a look at that.
The fourth, second and fourth.
Okay. So always the second and fourth Sunday for Grandfather's Medicine Wheel teachings. And Chinook Jargon and Medicine Wheel teachings are also on Zoom. Now, on Thursday evenings at the same Zoom room as the services, 5:45 social time, 6 to 7 is the lesson. The Medicine Wheel teachings are the first and third Thursdays, led by Dan Zarlengo. The next Thursday will be November 4th. Chinook Jargon class is the second and fourth Thursdays, led by Marcia Williams and Laura C-Y-R, however you pronounce that. Rainbow Many Colors is what that means. And the next one is Thursday, November 11th. Dr. Daria Circle in America continues its book and film club. The next meeting will be on Sunday, November 21st from 3 to 4:30 our time. They'll be discussing The Help by Catherine Stockett. Contact Dr. Daria or Susan for an invitation to the event. Please help your church. We practice prayer, meditation, and service. I volunteer right now to be a speaker. Now, raise your hand if anybody has an announcement that they would like to say. Nobody? Oh, Susan. Unmute yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, more than an announcement, it's an acknowledgement. At the end of the service, we thank the people who helped make the service possible. But I was thinking yesterday about all the people who do work behind this screen, who we don't see. Eileen, who goes into the church to gather the mail and deal with the checks. Johnny, who wheels out the garbage on the appropriate days and the recycle, and I'm sure countless other things. And Hallie, who's been helping with cleaning, and Penny, who goes in and opens up the church on the Sunday morning and gets the garden room ready, and on and on. So many hands and much gratitude. Thank you.
And let's not forget Susan, who schedules all of our speakers and readers and musicians and takes care of all of our flowers.
Yeah.
And probably more things.
Yep. Always looks gorgeous out there. All right. Any more announcements, anybody? No, don't see any hands. Okay. Then it's time for our unity statement. So, okay. Who's talking? Who's walking on my lines? Okay. Let's all say the unity statement together. We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness in God. Now, Mike and Karen and the kids are going to lead us in So Glad I'm Here, and aren't we all?
So glad I'm here, so glad I'm here, so glad I'm here every day. So glad I'm here, so glad I'm here, so glad I'm here every day. I'm gonna sing while I'm here. Sing while I'm here, sing while I'm here, every day. Gonna sing while I'm here, gonna sing while I'm here, sing while I'm here, every day. You know, joy brought me here, joy brought me here. Joy brought me here, here today. Joy brought me here, you know, joy brought me here. Joy brought me here, here today.
love brought me here. Love brought me here. Love brought me here. Here today. Love brought me here. You know, love brought me here. Love brought me here. Here today. And I'm so glad I'm here. So glad I'm here. So glad I'm here. Every day. So glad I'm here. And I'm so glad I'm here. I'm so glad I'm here. Every day. I'm so glad I'm here. Here today. You know I'm so glad I'm here. Here today. I'm so glad I'm here. Every day. I'm so glad I'm here. Every day.
Wonderful, happy song. Thank you so much. And this morning's reading will be by Johnny.
Oh, already time for the reading. Okay, well, I'm going to take a break from reading our regular spiritual and profound things to just be silly and have some fun for Halloween. So I got a few little Halloween tidbits for you. The first one is called Home by Lee Thomas. Leaves scuttled through the front door to join a litter of glass from the shattered TV screen. Drops of smashed jack-o'-lantern dripped from the wall, adding to the disorder. The creature the children had summoned watched the blaze on the hearth. The thing was tall, emaciated, with enormous crimson eyes. It clicked its small pointed teeth together. Amid the fire rested the spirit board through which it had passed, now burnt and curled beyond recognition. Lifting a chocolate to its lips, it bit down and gazed despondently into the flames, wondering how it would ever get home again. Okay, this story's going to be a long walk, folks. It's called The Coffin. One dark night, a young man was walking home on a dark, deserted street. As he passed the gates of a small cemetery, he felt as if he was being followed. Suddenly, he heard a bump behind him. Afraid to look back, he increased his pace. Bump, bump, bump. The bumping behind him continued, getting closer and louder. Finally, unable to ignore the bump any longer, he turned around. Terror-stricken, he saw a coffin standing on end, bumping down the road from side to side. Bump, 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 bump. He started running for his life, but the coffin only kept on coming, increasing its pace to match his. Bump, bump. As the man became tired from running, the coffin began to get closer. The man grabbed a large metal trash can as he ran by and threw it at the coffin. Unfazed, the coffin kept coming, getting closer and closer. Bump, bump, bump. He finally arrived home. As he ran into his yard, he noticed the axe resting against the side of the house next to the woodpile. He grabbed it up and hurled it at the coffin, but it simply bounced off. The coffin followed the man up onto the porch and crashed down the front door the man had closed and locked behind him. Bump, bump, bump. He ran upstairs and grabbed his shotgun from where it hung on the wall, firing at the coffin as it came through the doorway. Still, the now partially shattered continued towards him. Bump, bump, bump. In desperation, the man ran into the bathroom, closed the door, and backed as far as he could. He knew the coffin would simply break down the door. However, the man did not intend to give up. Grabbing a bottle of cough syrup, he hurled it at the coffin. The bottle shattered, covering the coffin with cough syrup. And the coffin stopped. I hear a giggle. Okay. Sometimes the very short ghost stories are the best. And this tale tells the story of a father putting his young son to bed. I begin tucking him into bed, and he tells me, "Daddy, check for monsters under my bed." I look underneath for his amusement and see him, another him, under the bed, staring back at me, quivering. and whispering, "Daddy, there's somebody on my bed." Happy Halloween, folks.
Thank you, Johnny. I can see why the kids love you there at the school. Put so much into your story. All righty. Now it's time for our meditation song, Ong Namo.
The rain is pouring down like all the souls you send here, coming to this earth to find healing. Mother Earth takes in the rain like your heart takes my voice. Let us free each other with our prayers, with our voice. And I'm coming home, and I'm coming home, and I'm coming home, and I'm coming home. Deep divine teacher.
Thank you so much. That was wonderful. Good job. Good job. All right. Now, please join me in our affirmations. I am the love of God in expression. I am truly thankful for all the good I already experience. I'm growing more prosperous with every day. I am healthy, active, whole, and happy. I am always growing and expanding into the fulfillment of my potential. I am at peace knowing that everything I need comes to me in the perfect time. And this is being our fourth Sunday of the month. Let's do the progressive Lord's Prayer. Okay. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, I am. I am thy kingdom come. I am thy will being done. I am on earth even as I am in heaven. I am giving this day daily bread to all. I am forgiving all life, even as I am also all life forgiving me. I am leading all people from temptation. I am delivering all people from error. I am the kingdom. I am the power, and I am the glory of God in eternal, immortal manifestation. All this I am. Amen. Now the Alleluia, led by Mike and Karen.
Alleluia, 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 Alleluia.
Thank you. OK, Okay, we are privileged to have a different speaker each Sunday of the month. This Sunday, we are honored and blessed as John Wingfield returns and shares his real life wisdom in this morning's subject, The Masks We Wear. Thank you, John. Got to unmute yourself, though, okay? Nope, you're still muted.
There. Now, how's that? All right. It's good to be alive, and it's so good to sing with you. Thank you, Mike, and thank you, everyone. And it's so good to see all the people from here to Arizona and North Carolina and Centralia. I'm home in Olympia. And Mike, I'm glad you have your whole band there this morning. That's great. When I started ministry, I was given the advice by one of my wise teachers, never talk about politics, religion, or the Great Pumpkin. So today I want to talk about none of those, but all of those, really. The masks we wear. What masks we wear? This is an interesting day because this is the trifecta of four different traditions that are observed worldwide, with the Samhain, which is in the Celtic tradition, which has something to do with Jane and my background, since we both, she's Irish Catholic and I'm British Protestant, but have the mixture of Welsh and Scottish and Irish. So we are all kind of combined in that mishmash. And Samhain is a really important time, the bonfires, you know, and All Hallows Eve. It's a time of welcoming the ancestors back, because in the Celtic time, in a different day, different calendar, they honored, I think, 6 or 8 different special times to observe every 6 weeks. And Samhain is the beginning of the new year. It was after all of the crops are in and everything is settled, but it's a time of beginning the new year and welcoming the ancestors who have gone on, departed, to come back. So the bonfires. We've had a bonfire set out in our backyard for quite some time, but I don't know if it's burnable now because it got so wet over the past several weeks of that river of rain that has joined us. Maybe this evening we'll be able to have that fire, we'll see. But also there's the Dia de los Muertos, so the day of the dead in the Hispanic, in the Latino tradition. And it's not just Mexican, it goes way down into South America. And behind me, the reason I'm sitting in the kitchen is because behind me I have put together, Jane and I have put together a little altar with photos of our family and friends and spiritual teachers that have blessed us all through these years with the marigolds that are prominently used in Latino altars where they honor the dead. And I was asking Mike if he had seen the movie Coco. We talked about that earlier because it is a movie about Dia de los Muertos. And it's remembering our ancestors, which I think in our tradition here in the good old US of A, we forget our ancestors. We don't honor them like we should. We don't really pay the dear, deep respect, I think, that we is due our ancestors, because it is on their shoulders that we stand and we live. And those people who have been farmers and workers and so many other things that have brought us to this point so we can enjoy prosperity, we can enjoy good health and loving one another freely. It's an amazing thing our ancestors have given us, and we honor them and thank them. And of course, it's Halloween, All Hallows Eve. And Johnny, thank you for those ghost stories, reading that. And I thought perhaps I would share a ghost story myself. This is, I don't know if I've ever told this on a Sunday, but I've told my friends, and of course Jane has heard this many times. The true ghost story was that my first church I served was in San Luis Obispo, California. And the center itself, the building in which we met, because in unity we acknowledge that the place is the center, unity center, and the church is the people inside who make up that living organism of spiritual community. So after I had been there for some time, and I don't remember, a couple of years or so, a gentleman came up to me, and I don't remember his name, but I remember he's wearing a brown suit, light brown top and dark brown slacks, and he spoke to me in the line, the greeting line, after the service and after everyone else had gone by. He said that he and some other people who came to church from the South County of San Luis Obispo were sensitive, and they were seeing disembodied souls in the service, during the service, and it bothered them. And that surprised me, because I'm dense. I don't see stuff, right? I don't have those apparitions, awarenesses and stuff. But I didn't know what to do with that at first. And so this gentleman lived in Arroyo Grande, and south of San Luis Obispo, down south of Pismo Beach in Oceano, and out west of Oceano. There's an old tradition. 100 years ago, there was a community there called, that's not what they were called. They were called the Dunites, and they lived out in the dunes, and they were very psychic and sensitive people, and they were very anti-war and anti-establishment, all that. Anyway, there were still a lot of people who were sensitive who were coming up from South County, and this gentleman spoke for them. So I didn't know what to do with it, but a woman was volunteering in our bookstore every Tuesday. And so the following Tuesday, I asked her to come to my office, and I explained to her what had happened. A little background. The church building, the center, was, before Unity bought it, had been a mortuary. It originally was a home for the postmaster of San Luis. And then Mr. Reese bought it, and they had a mortuary there for a number of years until they outgrew that. But during that time, they built a chapel on the west side of the house. And so it made a nice place where we could seat about 100 people, or however many we could fit in. And it worked really well, I thought. It was quite nice for a small church of 60 people and growing to 100 people and stuff. So I asked Diane, what do we do about this? This gentleman told me that there are all these disembodied souls that are kind of flying around in the building during the time of the service, and they're distracted. They don't like it. And I thought, well, I wouldn't either. But she said, well, she didn't know, but she had a friend who was a shaman at a local community called Redwind. And so she brought him the next week, and I presented the same idea to him. And he said, well, this is what we do. We know that these souls are stuck in this place, and they want out, and they can't get out. They are trapped. They can't go through doors and windows. So what they need is to be drawn out. And what they like the most is food, but they can't eat food. They can't touch it because they don't have a body to put it, you know, to touch and eat it with. So what you do is take a plate of warm food, like the next time you have a dinner here, and open the door, and put the food right outside the door. And it will draw them out, and they will be free. They'll be able to go out. So, I asked Diane, by the way, before that, what if she would check it out herself, because she was sensitive. So she went down into the sanctuary and sat beside the piano. And a few minutes later, she came back to my office and she told me, there are all these beings, all these souls that are asking to be free, to be released. We want out of here. We're trapped. We're stuck. And so this shaman told me what to do. So the next time we had a potluck dinner, and we had potluck every month, just like you guys have very often every Sunday when the things, everything is clear, free and clear, right? And some are having it right now. I see Vern there. But it's, so I took a plate when everyone was gone, took a plate of mashed potatoes and chicken and beans and peas, you know, and the whole deal. And I set it out by the back door. I propped it open and I went home. And about an hour later, I came back and threw that away. And then, and locked up the church. And then the following Tuesday, when Diane came, I asked her if she would go back down and check it out. And she said, sure. So she went down, came back. She said, it's clear. So that's my ghost story. And what I find interesting is, like what you read, Johnny, and what so much of how it's depicted in books and poetry and in the movies, or television programs, the Munsters or the Addams Family, you know, those funny ones, but there are so many not funny ones. The monsters, you know, the beasts that come out in the name of ghosts. What's that about? That's not the Great Pumpkin. That's a depiction of what people fear the most, maybe, in themselves. I mean, I have some masks here this is a mask that my son made. It's ceramic, so I can't put it on. But we have other masks. These are partial. These are what I use, the ears of a giraffe and the ears of a jackal. It's what I use when I teach nonviolent communication, because the giraffe sticks its neck out to connect and communicate with the world. Of nature, of course, and the jackal is the cynical ego, the one that will just as soon eat you up as do anything else. And then this is one I've used numerous times. The nose. When I was a visiting minister down in Atlanta back in 2000, I wore one of those around during a potluck, during a party after church, and that was great fun. Especially because I had one of those flowers on my lapel that you could squeeze a little ball and it would squirt water. That was a hoot. But by the way, sometime after we cleared the church or the center, the gentleman who asked me that had made this clock and gave it to me, which I've kept it. It doesn't work anymore. I've knocked it over and bent it and stuff, but it's such a great piece of work with stone, with the agate and the crystal that's in there. I really love it. So what do we do with that in our lives, with all of the ghosts and all of those things that get in our way, that really, our fascination with fears and our fascination with all of those negative things. Well, in unity, we turn to the truth as much as we can to try to not be inhibited by it and controlled by our fears. So this week, this month, I've been looking at this book, The Jesus Christ Heals. And this was a book that was first published in 1939, in which Charles Fillmore wrote, God is truth, God is mind. Here we touch the connecting link between God and man. The essential being of God is principle, cannot be comprehended by any of the senses of faculties. But the mind of man is limitless, and through it, he may come in touch with divine principle. Now, what Joanne was talking about, having that conversation with the worker who came to the center and was helping with, was it Comcast or something? We are so used to a God of the senses, a God of that's like other people, a God. We've returned the compliment, you know, as someone said, God created us in his image and we've returned the compliment. And we've created God in our image, but God is so much greater, more vast than that. And Fillmore goes on to say, to know God as health, one must take up the study of a healthy mind and make it not physical appearance the basis of every calculation. The God is mind idea that is just so important. And there was one more thought in here that I wanted to share with you. And I'm just, I don't usually do this, but everything's changed through the years to read straight out of the book, but it's so, so good. And this is a book that not only is highly highlighted and underlined, but the connotations that I've made on the margins of the book are just so thorough, it's hard for me to read. But what Mr. Fillmore says is what I really wanted to talk about. And that is, Paul urges in many of his writings that we have the mind of Christ, that we let Christ be formed in us. This has usually been taken to mean that we are to imitate Christ. This is as good as far as it goes, but it does not go far enough. To follow Jesus Christ in the regeneration or new birth, we must fulfill the law of body building, of health building, of mind building. So the point of what Mr. Fillmore is talking about here is regeneration. And I think that is such an important idea for today, to regenerate. Regeneration is needed for our health, for our relationships, for the earth. This is a very significant time. Tomorrow, the conference in Glasgow about the environment and saving the earth. And what they're trying to do is cut back on all the pollution, polluting devices that we have, coal-fired power plants and oil and gas and so many things, so many ways that we are contributing to the pollution of the air and the water and the earth. It's just profound that we continue on as if everything's hunky-dory and everything's fine. That's one of the masks we wear, that everything's fine. Everything's just fine. As long as I feel good, everything's fine. But the reality is we have a world that we are responsible to care for. That's what God said, you know, that we have dominion over the earth. That means we have, this is the domain of God, and we are responsible for taking care of it. It's our responsibility. And in the regeneration comes some very important steps. And for that, I'd like to go back to what I was talking about, the book I was talking about last time when I was, what was that, August, I was back in New York on Long Island. And I, at the time, was reading the book Braiding Sweetgrass by Robin Wall Kimmerer. And she is a professor of biology at New York University by Syracuse. And she is an environmentalist working on environmental science. And she points out that one very profound thing is going on. And that is, in our society today, there are so many people that are demanding their rights and calling for their rights. Are you with me on that? You know, my right to wear a mask or not wear a mask, my right to do this or my right to do that, constitutional rights and all of that. And yet, what she says in the Native American tradition is it's the question isn't rights, it's responsibilities and obligation. And it's very simple. Our responsibility is to be who we truly are, to find out why we are here in this life, on this planet. And our obligation is to be that, is to do that, is to live according to our responsibility. So the question becomes, and it's always been there, what are we here for? What are we born to be in this world? What's and how then can we participate in the regeneration and the rejuvenation of the earth and of humanity that is so fractured now? So divided up by left and right, blue and green, and all these different orientations and beliefs and so forth. How can we truly find our way back to oneness as humanity, as one planet? I think, personally, my experience, and especially the experiences that I've had in my life of awakening, it is that I am, just like we recited earlier, I am. We are all a part of God. And as a part of God, that's what we are called to be, to do, to be the divine, to be loving, to be compassionate, to be kind, and to be participating in the rejuvenation of the earth. It's not enough to just stop or reduce pollution. It's important that we do the work of cleaning up the messes we've made already, that we do things that will transform all of those polluted areas, the lakes and the streams. People are still drinking poison water, or that's all they've got, you know. It's our responsibility, I think, to find those places and clean them up and do what we can to bring about a greater sense of love and peace and goodness, and be able to share that in in our life and in our world. I think that's what Unity Centers are all about. That's why I got into Unity 50 years ago, to really make a difference by teaching the truth and being dedicated to peace and a sense of order and understanding and joy and bliss, and sharing that deeply. I'll close with this thought, share with you what Pablo Picasso said. The meaning of life is to find your gift. The purpose of life is to give it away. That to me is prosperity, is to be able to live a quality of life that you can give away every day. God bless you. Let's have a while of prayer now. Just get still. Take a moment to turn your attention within, even beyond your thinking. Go farther back, go farther and deeper in your mind. And as you are able to settle, take a deep breath. Now relax. And just allow yourself to relax in the stillness. Because after all of that singing, all of that talking, all of the reading and all of the affirmation, we can allow ourselves to drift into the stillness. And it is in the stillness that we can make contact with the divine mind. and the divine idea of oneness, of wholeness. And may all of our hurts and pains, all of our illnesses be healed. And for all souls, may healing happen spontaneously as we spread the love and allow that love to move through us to be a blessing. To radiate the light and to radiate the love and the peace of God to everyone everywhere, all living things, all things. All sentient and non-sentient beings. Amen. Om peace bliss.
Thank you so much, John. That was wonderful. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's see. It's time for the morning offering. While we are together in spirit, physically, and virtually, we want to thank everyone who has donated to Unity by mail. We appreciate any checks sent to the church at 800 South Pearl Street, Centralia, Washington, 98531. You can also donate online by clicking on the donation page on our website, unityofcentralia.net. We also deeply appreciate all the ways you give of your time, talent, and treasure. As we hold our offering in our hands and hearts, let's say our offering prayer together. Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. Okay, time for the blessing of thanks. We bless these gifts and send them forth to heal, bless, and prosper. They are evidence of our faith and belief. They do good work in the world and return to us multiplied abundantly. And so it is. And here is healing prayer. If you'd like to focus our collective group healing energy for someone, please raise your hand, unmute, and tell us who it is, or hold them quietly in your heart. We're going to add John today, at church there. Maybe John and Sherry, because we haven't seen you in a while. I give you guys lots of love and healing energy. Members of our community have requested we send out healing prayers and energy to the members of our communities who must deal with basic human needs while living without a home. Neela, who is dealing with COVID long haul issues. And Tom appreciates your prayers as he heals from his surgery. All righty. Beloved Mother, Father, God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for all and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen. And now it's time for the prayer protection. Let's all say that together. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. Let's form a virtual circle and also one in church. Join hands and sing our peace song. I'll be turning on gallery view towards the end so you can see everybody. And you will be.
Peace on earth and let begin with me. Let it be peace on earth, this world is meant to be.
Thank you to all who made our Sunday service possible. Please stay with us after service if you wish to share in our fellowship time. As next Sunday is the first Sunday of the month, we'll be pleased and honored to have Dr. Daria Funches continue with her series 2021, Thy Will Be Done. Okay, everybody unmute yourselves and say hi.